You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Going to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline and bring in the head coach of the national champion North Dakota State University, Chris Kleiman, who, of course, was head coach of Carson Wentz. Chris, thank you so much for taking time to join us here on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
First off, congratulations on back-to-back national championships as a head coach, and of course, five in a row for your very, very prolific program there. And Carson Wentz, a big part of that. I'm sure you've done a ton of media talking about him. Everybody sees the size, the athleticism, the ability to throw the football. What's something that people don't know about Carson Wentz that makes you believe deep in your core that he is going to be a successful franchise quarterback in the NFL?
Well, his competitiveness. He's so competitive on and off the field. And then he has the ability to understand what he's learned in a classroom, watching film, those other things, and be able to translate it onto the football field. And that's something that, you know, maybe a guy's got really good ability but doesn't understand the game as well. Maybe a guy understands the game real well but doesn't have the ability. This kid's got the total package. And not only that, but I firmly believe the style of offense that he played in here, where he had to come out of the huddle, he had to come to the line of scrimmage, he had the keys to the car the entire season long, or last season, and then the half the season he played this year, to make the adjustments and the checks at the line of scrimmage. And that's something that, you know, we kind of don't see a whole lot in college football anymore. There's so many things that are spread, no huddle, and you look to the sideline, and then the coordinator makes a call. Well, this kid did all that on his own, so I think that really sets him apart.
And obviously very successful, comes back from an injury to play in that national championship game, leads the team to victory. What do his teammates think of Carson Wentz?
Well, that tells you a lot, everything you need to know about Carson, as far as what his teammates think of him, and more importantly, what he thinks of his teammates. Because, you know, he didn't play for 8 games in really 12 weeks, and we won a semifinal game, I think, on December 22nd, and he and I visited right around Christmas, and I said, okay, Carson, there's a chance you're going to get cleared about January 4th, and we're going to play January 9th. I know people are probably going to be tugging at you. Some may say, boy, what are you playing for? Why are you doing this? You know, you potentially could be a first-round pick, let alone a top pick. Why don't you just back away? And he said, Coach, I came in with these seniors, and these are my guys. These are my brothers, and I'm going out with these guys as well, and I want to play. And, you know, what it gave our football team a great lift. The guys rallied around him, as well as I thought he played an exceptional game for being out for 12 weeks.
What was the reason for a guy that's this talented, now being talked about going maybe number one, number two, top five in the NFL draft? I know you guys had Brock Jensen, who was incredible at that level, now playing in Canada. What kept Carson Wentz on the sideline for so long? Was it just he needed time to develop and you had the luxury with Brock?
A little bit of both, you know. Brock, in 2011, when Carson was redshirted and working with our scout team, Brock went 15-0 and won a national championship.
Right.
And then, lo and behold, did it again. So the kid's 30-2 with two national championships, when I think Carson was probably ready to play, you know, going into that redshirt sophomore year. And we challenged Brock. We did a lot more things with Brock running the football, that if something happened to Brock, we'd have a guy that would be ready to go. Well, lo and behold, we go 16-0 that year, 15-0 that year, and win a third national championship. The guy's 45-2. He doesn't deserve to lose his job.
Right.
And so, but, you know, to Carson's credit, he knew that, hey, this is going to be my time. This is going to be my turn. This is going to be my team. And I was so impressed with Carson. We flew back from the championship game. I really started my first day as the head coach when we arrived back from the national championship game. He called me that Sunday morning when we got back from the title game and said, when's the quarterback coach coming in? I want to get together with him as soon as we can. Well, I had hired a quarterback coach that was getting in that Sunday morning. Those two guys met before we hit on the road for recruiting. So he was pretty dialed in heading into his junior year, knowing he was going to have an opportunity to be the guy.
Is he a guy that just, you know, I read the story that, you know, his girlfriend would get mad when they would go out on dates that he'd be watching film under the table. So I take it it's safe to say that this is a guy who eats, breathes, sleeps, and loves football, watching film and preparing to be the absolute best.
Yeah, he's a football junkie. He's always wanting to improve. He's always, you know, I'm a defensive guy by trade, but he, you know, he'll pick my brain, and he and I'll watch it. I'll be sitting watching film with the quarterbacks, and he'd always say, "Hey, what is the defensive guy looking here? Tell me some things that I can look for to help him on rolling of coverage and stuff." He's just a guy that's always going to look to get better, always going to improve, always is going to be finding a way to make sure that he is on top of his game, and that's what you're going to get is a guy that's pretty dialed in and pretty locked in, and I think he is a franchise quarterback. Where he'll go in the draft, I think we'll find out in a couple weeks.
When you think about Carson Wentz, and I know that we've heard so many of the reasons why he will succeed, as somebody who coached him, what's the thing that he needs to work on the most in order to make sure he succeeds? Or another way to look at it, if it doesn't work out for Carson Wentz in the NFL, what do you think would be the reason?
Well, no, I think it'll work out. I really do. You have somebody with that much talent, that much drive, that much ability, that much competitive fire. It'll work out. Now, you know, I know one of the knocks that people would say is the fact that he's only played in 23 games. Well, I think that's a big benefit because he's still got a really high ceiling. And he is going to learn, you know, and I know the speed of the game is different. But the speed of the game is going to be different for every college kid coming to the NFL.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously he's going to learn through that and grow and get better. And if he has to play early, you know, hopefully he's got a lot of great people around him, you know, just like our kid had to do when Carson got hurt. And if he's able to sit a little bit, that could benefit him as well. I know the kid's competitive and wants to play, but I know this. He will work his tail off to make it. Now, whether or not that success is quickly or in due time, it's just a matter of how what program or what team he gets to.
Talking with Chris Kleiman on the Ohio Business Machines hotline. He is, of course, the head coach of North Dakota State University, where Carson Wentz played his college ball. The program has won 5 straight national championships. What has Carson expressed to you about this process? And I'll talk specifically about his pro day. The Browns are there, obviously. It's a team that's been strongly linked to Carson Wentz. Pep Hamilton comes out, squirts the water on the ball. What's this whole experience been like for him, and what did he think specifically of that?
Well, he was fine. I mean, he knows there's going to be adversity. He knows people are going to try to challenge him. He knows that, you know, he just got to continue to attack the process, and he really enjoys it. You know, I know he wasn't nervous at the Senior Bowl. I know he wasn't nervous at the Combine. He just goes and plays the game, and then he was ready to go, excited about the pro day. You know, when Pep did that, and I thought that was great. You know, okay, he throws the first one a poor ball, but then he fires right back off and completes a bunch after that. So, you know, the stage won't be too big for this young man. He'll command a room. He'll command a team. He's a really confident guy, but he's not cocky or arrogant. And that's the thing that I've really appreciated about Carson. He knows that where he's at in the draft. He knows kind of what the future could hold for him, but he's still a really grounded young man that is just a Midwest guy that is always trying to improve and get better.
How do you think he would handle a situation like Cleveland's? It's one thing to take over for a 3-time defending national champ in a program that clearly you are running one of the class programs in the country of any sport at any level. You lose your quarterback this season, Carson Wentz, who's being talked about as one of the top picks, if not the top pick in the NFL draft, and you don't lose a game. So how do you think he would handle a situation where he has to come in? He hasn't known losing at all. Coming to a place like Cleveland where he's probably going to lose more games in his first season than he lost in his career at North Dakota State.
Yeah, obviously that would be a tough thing, but he also knows that you know, each day is a new day, and each game's a new game, and you've got to continue to improve. And you know, he hasn't experienced losing much, but I think that will also rub off on other guys within whatever team and program he goes to, because he is a winner. You know, he won in high school. He won in college. And I think he'll continue to you know, be even a better leader and say, hey, guys, we got to keep grinding to get through this, because, you know, I know this. Every week is a big challenge in the college game. And you go to the NFL, and every week is anybody can beat anybody for sure at that level. So I think he'll handle it fine. You know, once again, he'll need to be surrounded by some great people, and I'm confident that he will, just within the organizations of the people that I've met, from coaches to scouts to GMs to head coaches. He'll be surrounded by great people to help him too.
What's the one game, if you're going to tell people, because a lot of the people listen to this show, believe me, with the way that it's been for the Browns, the draft is oftentimes the most exciting part of the year and the thing they dissect the most. What's the one game, or is there a play that you would tell people, check this out if you want to see the tape of Carson Wentz and why you believe and know, given what he's done for you, that he is so special?
Well, I would say this. You can probably get it on YouTube. YouTube the final drive of the 2014 championship game when we beat Illinois State, and we have a minute 30 on the clock with really no timeouts, and he's got to take it 85 yards, and he throws a couple of ropes for first downs. He should be sacked one time, but has enough athleticism to spin out of it and throw the ball away, and then throws a great pass to get us down to the 5-yard line, and then he calls the play. We have a couple of plays called. He calls the play, and he ends up running it himself in for a touchdown, and we got a guy unblocked at the 3-yard line, and he runs through him for a score. All those things, really emulate Carson Wentz as far as is the stage wasn't too big. He was able to run the ball. He was able to throw the ball. He was able to control his emotions, and there was no panic in his eyes. And that's the thing that I'm so appreciative of watching Carson is it doesn't matter if it's 1st and 10 in the first quarter or 4th and 3 in the fourth quarter. He's got the same demeanor, and that's really special in a quarterback.
Has he talked about his thoughts on coming to Cleveland? I know that it seems in some of the articles, people in North Dakota are not fans of the city of Cleveland. So I was just wondering if that's something that's been discussed. And I'm sure he's open to going anywhere. It is the NFL. But has that been discussed, his thoughts
on
Cleveland?
No, he's becoming a professional, I should say.
Sure.
He doesn't say much at all about it, as far as wherever he lands, he'll be appreciative of the opportunity, whether that's pick one to pick whatever. He may say, who knows, but he doesn't say anything about any specific teams or anything. He's just ready to go and compete and help that program or help that organization win.
And who would you compare him to from a skill set standpoint in the National Football League? Who is, if there is a comp for
him? That's hard for me because he's got athleticism. He's got a really exceptional arm. It would be a disservice for me to say he's Joe Flacco or he's Andrew Luck. Those guys have already done it, done a phenomenal job. And I know those are the comparisons of people thrown out there. Let's let this kid go through the process and let him create his own legacy out there. And I think he will, just how long it will take. And that, once again, depends on the organization and depends on the pieces around him. But I know this, you're going to get a competitive guy that's going to be a winner and is going to make your city, your town, your organization better because he's in the program.
Do you think Cleveland, because they have RG3 and it would give Carson the opportunity to kind of sit and watch for a little while, that would be a beneficial? Or Dallas, who has been interested, rumored to be interested in with Tony Romo, that is probably the ideal scenario. Just give him a time to come in and learn. Because as you're right, it's one thing to go from college and all the guys come in the pros and make adjustments, but that's a different level coming all the way straight into the NFL as opposed to being kind of thrust into the fire day one.
I think any quarterback, I don't care what level you're at, obviously you get to that elite level, would benefit by sitting and watching, no matter if he goes pick one or pick 12 or wherever the heck he goes. I think it'd be a benefit for him to learn now. With the money out there and all these quarterbacks and stuff, how long do they let him learn before they have to thrust him into that role? I don't know, but that's why I don't have to make those decisions. But I think it would benefit any quarterback to sit and learn for a little while.
Can you expound on that if you don't mind? Because we just had a couple callers who called up and said, if you were to take a quarterback at number two and he doesn't play right away, then he's not worthy of being drafted number two. From a coach's standpoint, why is that incorrect?
Well, I think you want to make sure a guy's going to go into a situation and build some confidence. And, whether it's the speed of the game and he's working on it in practice or speed of a game and he's taking him some snaps early in the season but not thrust into a starting role, I just think that's a position where confidence can be shaken pretty quickly. And we were in the situation earlier this year when we lost Carson, had to play a freshman, and we kind of designed the game plan around him. And you would just rather have a guy be able to sit and learn. The game is coming so fast, and you get to that next level, you don't want to shatter a guy's confidence. Now, in the same respect, I don't think this guy's confidence will shatter. But in the same respect, you think you want to make sure you put him in scenarios where he can be successful.
Of course. Coach, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on your second championship as the head coach, fifth in a row for your great program there at North Dakota State, and for sharing your thoughts on Carson Wentz.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. That was the head coach of North Dakota State, Chris Kleiman, our guest here on CBD. Coming up, we'll take your phone calls, get your reaction. Of course, we'll get Gibbs's reaction. We want that to what he just heard. And we'll also have Duke Johnson in studio coming up at the bottom of this hour on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I've been counting on my steps. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. By the way, I just tweeted, thanks, big thanks to at Carjar Jared. He gave the fourth quarter drive in the championship game that the coach, Chris Kleiman, was talking about just now on our show as it relates to Carson Wentz. Thought that was a very interesting article. Gibbs, what'd you think?
I thought he was good. You and I just talked about it during the break. I mean, the guy didn't mess around. He didn't sidestep questions. There were a couple at the very end, you know, the quarterback comparison. He doesn't want to be painted into a corner. He doesn't want to paint his quarterback into a corner. I get it. But you got to ask that question. But he answered everything. I mean, I think that, you know, what his teammates think of him, I thought was good. I love the fact that he acknowledged, hey, man, he truly is a football junkie. He's had to sit before. I think that's a big key in case he does have to sit. I liked his comments on quarterback sitting. I thought that was a great question by you.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I think that the one thing that will be interesting is going from a situation like he likes to enjoy, you know, or that he's been fortunate enough to enjoy in terms of winning, and going, you know, to a situation where he's not going to win. And I know that there have been a lot of people that have been, you know, where that kind of the losing shocks them. You know, you come from those great college programs, and then all of a sudden you come to the NFL and it's like, man, I lost. I forget who it was that said it, but there was recently a quarterback that said, I just lost more in my first year in the NFL than I'd lost in my whole career, you know, high school and college. So it can be a little bit of a shock in the system. And I think that will be an adjustment for him, for Goff. Unfortunately, and fortunately, he kind of turned a program around in the Pac-12. From 1-11 to 8-5, so he's lived it. So that's something certainly that will be interesting. I do think, thought it was a very strong interview. I remember when we had Dabo Swinney on a few years ago for Sammy Watkins, like, don't be that guy that passes on him. I think that he was certainly strong, and you can tell that he believes wholeheartedly in Carson Wentz, and why wouldn't he? But also understands that there are going to be adjustments for him at the next level.
Yeah, and he wasn't over the top. You know, some coaches, you know, like Dabo a few years ago, you want to back your player all the way. And I'm not saying the coach didn't, but, you know, he wasn't over the top where you were like, okay, this guy's just saying stuff to be a homer for him. That was not the case here. And he didn't mix words. I thought he had some good comments about pouring the water on the football and Pep Hamilton. And, you know, he was right. I mean, Carson Wentz, okay, threw one into the ground. And then after that, he was on cue and everything was good.
Yes. Yeah, he came back from it. I mean, he should have expected it, and he got it and went through and did it. Let's go back to the phones now, get your reaction before we get Duke Johnson in here. Lynn in Cleveland. Lynn, welcome.
Well, hey, guys. Got a question. I just saw a tweet over Larry Zierlein.
Lance.
Yes. And,
well, we'll call him Larry.
Yeah, Dan Brugler just confirm that the rumor is the Eagles are going after us at 2, and obviously for a quarterback, and saying obviously the Browns would want to accumulate more picks. Now, let me just ask you, with that in mind, Jim Donovan talked about Kevin Hogan from Stanford, and wouldn't be surprised if the Browns kind of went after him. You know, he's obviously someone who would need more time to develop. That kind of surprised me, and also trading down. I understand we have a lot of needs, but it would make sense to get one of the top two quarterbacks. I'll let you go. What do y'all think of that?
Kevin Hogan is a guy that you're drafting to be a quality backup and potentially become a starter. But he's got issues with the way that he delivers the football. Is he a winner? Does Pep Hamilton going to have familiarity with him? Absolutely. I think it'd be a great guy to have in the room if the Browns were to go a two-quarterback scenario, or if they were going to go, all right, we're going to ride with RG3 this year. We don't think anybody's a franchise quarterback. We're going to get Hogan to come in here and bring some stability as a guy that can and certainly play in this offense and for us. I believe, again, I've said it from day one. I'll still say it. If the Browns brass believes that one or both of the quarterbacks are franchise quarterbacks and they are available at number two, that the Browns will pull the trigger there and will not trade down. If they trade down, that says to me unequivocally that they do not believe that the quarterbacks available to them at number two are franchise quarterbacks, and therefore it will be in their best interest to acquire more assets. Let's go to Dennis in Cleveland now. Dennis, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What?
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Hey, I know you can't believe everything you see on the web, but I'm looking at something right now from NetOneSports.com.
Yeah, somebody just tweeted me that link where with a three-way trade,
right,
between the Broncos, the Bills, and the Browns. The Browns would be giving up pick number two overall. They would get the Bills' first-round pick, which I believe is 19, the Denver first-round pick, which I believe is it, which is 31, and then right. Also a second-round pick in the mid-40s, plus a future third and a Broncos player.
Right.
I don't know where that's coming from. No idea.
I don't know. I don't know either, but if that did happen, what would you think of that trade?
Yikes.
So, hold on. Again, if the Browns believe that Jared Goff or Carson Wentz is a franchise quarterback, then I would not like that trade. If the Browns don't believe that they are, then that is the kind of trade that makes sense. You're turning one player into three players in the top 40.
Yeah, you would have the 19th pick, you'd have the 31st pick, and you would have the 32nd pick.
And they're getting you get a second in that deal.
Correct. You'd have five of the top 50.
Four.
Five.
Five. Five? Two firsts and two seconds.
Sorry, my bad. I didn't go to college for math, thank God. That was you.
That's right. So you'd have four in the top 50, plus you're picking up a third in the future and a player of some kind. So, yes, that is a strong, strong scenario.
It's a lot of picks, a lot of players. But I don't think –
If you don't believe that there's a franchise quarterback. That's if you don't believe it, that's the kind of deal you make, because people don't want that future one. You're getting two ones this year and a two this year and a three next year. So one player, okay, plus you're supposedly getting a player. So one player, pick number two overall in that scenario, becomes two first rounders, a second rounder, a third rounder, and a player. Five players, three of which are top 40 prospects, two and four of which are top 90 prospects.
But you're giving up the number two pick.
And right, but you're giving up one player.
Yeah, but 19 and 31, do you need to be picking further up the food chain is what I'm saying in that first round?
Depends on what your board looks like. Depends what your board looks like.
I mean, I get moving back. Do you want to move back that far?
I don't. But if you're a 19, probably a good shot, though, that you get Dotson or Treadwell.
This is true as well.
You know, probably a good shot at that. So if that's what the thinking is. Depends really what thinking is. I think it all hinges on, as I've always said, is there a franchise quarterback in this draft? If so, I believe the Browns will take him. If not, I believe the Browns will not. In their opinion. Again, their opinion of a franchise quarterback. That's really what it is at the end of the day. That's the way that I see. By the way, shout out to Larry Zerline and Dan Brugler for breaking a lot of big-time stories. Let's go to John in Pittsburgh. John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
Love the show.
Thank you.
See, and this is going to come from a long, lifelong Browns fan, so it's coming out of love. But I'm a little concerned. What's that?
So it sounds like it's going to be tough love.
Yeah, it is going to be tough love. Okay. I'm a little concerned with the front office because they didn't show any foresight about this receiver issue. I mean,
Not these guys.
Well, no, I mean, before with Farmer, but no, I'm talking about these guys because this upcoming draft, and you got to hear me out on this, this upcoming draft was noted to be the worst wide receiver draft in a long time. And we let Travis Benjamin go, And then we could have signed either one of the two, if or both, Cincinnati wide receivers that know Hugh Jackson's offense. So what I'm saying is, knowing that this was a bad draft, knowing you can't rely on Josh Gordon, why didn't they either try to, A, sign Travis Benjamin, or, B, sign one of the Bengals receivers? And so that's what concerns me, that they didn't show enough foresight in that. And that's sort of getting to me a little bit.
So this is what I would say. This is how I would answer that. Okay, number one, if Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones weren't here, I think that says a little bit about what Hugh Jackson thought about him on some level, especially at $8 and I believe $7 million a year. The Browns did not think Travis Benjamin was worth the $6.5 million that he ended up getting from San Diego. So they were not going to go spend big money on guys that they didn't think were massive difference makers to their team. That's just the reality of the situation. So I'm fine with that. I really am. I think that you need to find receivers in the draft and develop them. The biggest issue is going back to 2014. Absolute whiff. Absolute whiff on the best wide receiver draft in history for the most wide receiver needy franchise in the NFL. Absolute whiff. If I could have done anything, Allen Robinson would be here. But I couldn't. That's not what I do. I just talk. A lot of hot air. But I think that was the whiff. What these guys are doing is trying to do it the right way. They will address the wide receiver position in this draft. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Browns take a receiver second round, third round, maybe another in the sixth, maybe bring in a couple of their priority undrafted free agents and just put a lot of young guys. Let's not forget, Allen Hurns was an undrafted free agent. Put a lot of guys out there and see who can come in and do something for this squad. Give these young guys a chance to compete. You've got some veterans. Can these young guys come in here and compete? That's what we'll find out. I believe that they are all on the same page. I think if Hugh Jackson had absolutely pounded the table for one of those guys, they'd be here. I don't think that he did, and I don't think, you know, there was a reason to pay them the kind of money that they got. I don't think Marvin Jones is an $8 million a year receiver. I don't think Mohamed Sanu is $7 million. The NFL does. That's why they got that money, and that's great. That's great. I think Detroit felt with the retirement of Megatron, they were in a pinch. They had to act, and they had to act immediately, and that's what they did. But the Browns aren't that, quote-unquote, one piece away. Draft, let these guys grow together. Let's go. Giddy up. Need some weapons. I'm on board with that, 100%. All right, when we come back, 216-578-0850 will be the call-in number. But you won't get to call in next. No, why? Because Duke Johnson, Brown's second-year running back from the U, is coming up right here on ESPN 850 on CBD. That's new.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura along with Jason Gibbs today, and we're happy to be joined in the Dog Bowl by Browns second-year running back, Duke Johnson. That's right. Duke, how you doing, man?
I'm good, are you?
Good. Welcome back to Berea.
Appreciate it. Glad to be back.
Second year. What do you think was the most important thing you learned in your rookie year that you're able to apply as you get ready here for the second season?
Make every play count. I had a lot of opportunities rookie year, make a lot of plays, and the ones that I made, I was happy about, but I know I left a lot on the field that I could have made. But just making every play, because you might not get a lot of opportunities, so make everyone count.
All right, so you're back here. It is your second season. New head coach, new offense, new running backs coach.
New everything.
Let's start at the top, though, your first impressions of Hugh Jackson.
I like him. I think he's going to go well beyond the necessary to make sure that we are comfortable and make sure that we are competing and make sure that we're going to be the best. He's going to do everything in his power that he can to make sure that we have everything we need to be successful. It's just about us going out there and applying everything.
What are your thoughts on the offense so far? Because he had success in Cincinnati with two backs, Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard. You can kind of see some parallels there with you and Crow. What are your impressions of that offense?
Ridiculous. Especially watching him last year as a rookie. Just seeing everything he was able to do with both backs, with the tight ends, and just with the offense in general, making it go, I was very impressed. And now that he's here, you know, I'm very excited just to see different things we could go out there and do.
Has he talked to you about what your expected role is? Have you heard, hey, you know, we did this with Giovanni, we think you can do a lot of the same things, or have you talked about that at all?
We haven't got down to the details, but I can guess my role would be something like that. Just coming out of the backfield and creating mismatches in any way I can. Just my whole role when I was coming out of college and getting drafted was creating mismatches out the backfield, linebacker, receiver. I just think we're going to do more things like that, similar to that.
When you look back at your rookie season, are you amazed with how many catches you ended up having when it was all said and done?
I was. I definitely was looking back in the offseason, realizing that I had a lot of catches compared to a lot of different guys around the league. Just look at it. And just, like I said before, the opportunities that I had, I took advantage of, but it was still some work that I could have made.
What was the one thing you talked about giving, you know, making sure every play counts, but there was some, was there anything from a technique standpoint or pass protection or the way that you go on your tracks when you're running the football that you really wanted to emphasize this offseason in preparation?
It wasn't nothing I can do in the offseason. It was all mental.
Uh-huh.
Just being my rookie and just going out there and just trying to play and trying to make every play a big play instead of taking what was there. And that's something that you overcome with time. Time will take care of it in itself. But I'm just trying to come this year and just take what's there, take what the defense gives me, and I should be fine.
Talk about head coach Hugh Jackson, also new running back coach Kirby Wilson, who's worked with some of the greats in the game and been around the league for a very, very long time. Most recently, Adrian Peterson. What's he brought to the room and what's it been like to work with him?
So far, so good. It's been amazing. His first day he gave us kind of a list of guys he worked with, and he just told us that he didn't make them. They made him. So he took something from each guy, and he's just trying to help us out and help us be the best we can be.
Yeah, he knows the division very well, spent a lot of time with the Pittsburgh Steelers, so certainly that is beneficial. Let's talk about your offseason. Did you do anything fun, any big trips, and exploring the world?
Not really. I don't think I'm doing that until I graduate from college.
Okay.
I spend every offseason taking classes. And
that's awesome.
Every summer, so I won't really have a big vacation until I graduate.
What are you getting your degree in?
Sports administration. Want to
okay.
be a coach after.
So. You want to be a coach after it's all said and done. Very cool. So what's it like going from playing in an NFL season, going back to school, and then getting ready for another NFL season?
It's different. It's definitely different. Because when you was in college, it's like, you have class checkers. You kind of have to go to class. Like now, you don't really have to go to class. So in the morning, if you're not feeling it, no one's going to force you. It's all willpower.
That's right. That's right.
It's all on you. So I think that was the toughest thing, was just forcing myself to get up and go to class, knowing that it's something I have to do.
Right. Just like you make every play count, you got to make every class count.
Every day counts. Every day counts.
So how much longer do you have with that?
Wow. I definitely have a wow. Left as a true junior, didn't have a red shirt yet, so
a little bit to go.
A little bit to go, but we'll get there.
Why is that so important to you? I admire that about you.
Not only did I promise my mom I would get it, but it's big to me just because when it's all said and done, I do have other dreams that I do want to accomplish, and without that, I can't. So I have to get it.
So do you physically go into a you physically go to class?
I do.
So what's the difference between being the big man on campus at the U and then now being an NFL player who's had success in the league going to class?
See, I'm lucky to have class with some of the baseball guys.
Okay.
And our baseball team is number one right now. Go Canes.
There you go.
So with those guys, I'm a regular student compared to those guys. Those guys
okay.
are the big guys on campus right now. They're making things happen. So I sit back and I admire them.
Very cool. Very cool. So you got a little while to go with that. I think that's very neat. Give you something to be focused on. And now you're back here getting ready, working out. We've heard so much about
in
this.
In the snow.
Yeah, I'm sure that was not good, leaving Miami, coming here for a blizzard.
Yeah, the first week.
I know.
The whole week, my very first week, it snowed. I want to say almost every day. Meanwhile, at home, it's 90 degrees.
I took my last vacation right before you guys came back. I was in Mexico for a week. And Saturday night when I flew back into that blizzard. And I'm like,
right.
What is the deal? What's going on?
Sad.
Yeah. It's sad. It's only going to get better, though.
I'm glad we got – well, we indoor, so.
Right. No big deal.
Yeah.
So this phase, you guys are going through workouts. It's strength and conditioning. And we've heard there's a very new approach. We've talked to Joel Bitonio about it, Christian Kirksey about it. From the running back standpoint, what do you think of this new strength and conditioning program?
It's death. It is death.
That's a good thing, though.
Oh my. It's a good thing. Just knowing that we'll be prepared. That's one thing about it. We'll be in good shape. We'll be strong, healthy. We're taking everything. We're taking every direction you can go, as far as health, conditioning, nutrition, whatever. We got pretty much everything you could think of to make sure that we're ready physically when the time for the season.
Do you like having your own guy for just the running backs?
I do. I don't think it's fair that we do the same thing that O-linemen do.
That's right.
So it's beneficial to each position that you have your own coach that you work on your own skill set with instead of everybody doing one thing. So I think that's a big plus. I've never seen it done before. I was talking to Hartline. Hartline said he's been in the league for a while, and this is the first time he's seen it done like this. So, like I said, Coach Hugh is doing everything in his power to make sure that we have all the necessary tools.
So you were, if you remember your rookie year, when you went into camp, you had a little bit of a soft tissue injury that cost you a little while, and I know that's one of the things they're trying to eliminate. Do you feel like this is going to have you guys better prepared than you were a year ago?
I'm pretty sure it will. I'm hoping it do, because I missed a lot of time due to the hamstring.
Yeah.
And I had problems with them before and just don't want it to keep reoccurring. So, I mean, I'm all in. So.
All right. Good. So let's talk about the first impression. You talked about Hugh, and we've heard everybody, the first speech he gave the team, very charismatic, but absolutely took command of the room. What's he like in terms of a coach? Have you been to the coach who can kind of captivate like that?
Second year in the league, not really. We was ready from day one. After the quick little speech, just do's and don'ts and what he expects and what our goal is as a team. We was ready. Everybody was ready to go. We was fired up and then went to workouts, and we just trying to carry it over.
Have you had an opportunity to spend any time with the new quarterback or one of the new quarterbacks of the Browns, Robert Griffin III, and how's he doing?
I have. He's doing well. So far, so good. Gary Barnes have a little movie premiere every now and then, so we all just going support, and he was one of the guys that was out there supporting. And so, I mean, so far, so good.
Good. Yeah. What's going on with you and Crow?
Crow. We pushing. We working. We just trying to be as good as we can be with bringing every running back along with us. So we have a new guy in Terrell, but same group from last year with Malcolm and Winston and Raheem. So we are just trying to compete and get each other better. At the end of the day, we know it's a business. We know it's everybody may not be here at the end of camp, but the guys who will be here, we want to make sure that they're the best guys for the job. And whoever's not here, we're trying to make sure that they're prepared for whatever life's taking them after that.
All right, last question for you. What is your goal for this season?
When?
All right, we'll start with the offseason. What's your goal for this offseason?
Offseason? I haven't really thought about it. Right now, I'm just working hard. I don't really have a goal. My first goal was to get flexible, help me with my hamstring injuries and things of that sort. So I have accomplished that goal. But right now, off-season workouts, just get faster and stronger and get in the best shape I can be, because I know Coach Jackson will ask a lot of me coming out the backfield, and I think that if I'm in the best shape I can be, it won't be no problem to do it at the highest level every play.
All right, what's your goal for the regular season then?
Win.
The whole season. What do you want to accomplish in your second year in the National Football League?
I want to win.
Yeah, I like that.
That's it.
That's it. Simple. Duke, appreciate the time. Welcome back. And excited to see you get to work here in the offseason, get ready for the season, and hopefully a lot of wins here with the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you very much. All right, we'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You know what, Gibbs?
What?
I don't care when. Let's just win. I had a little confusion there. I thought his wins were wins. And they were all just wins.
Hey, he's like, all good.
What do you want to accomplish? When? The offseason? I don't know. The regular season? When? I thought he was saying when.
I thought so. It sounded more like win, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
To be fair, people on Twitter thought that his southern accent did make it sound like when, so they understood my confusion. But nonetheless, we got there. We finally did arrive. I got win.
He's excited.
He is, and he's a great guy. Great talk to. really excited for him too, pursuing his degree. Clearly important to him. I really respect that a lot. Could you imagine though going? Could you imagine going to class in college with an NFL player, like an active NFL player?
No,
that'd be so cool. He's like saying the baseball guys are getting more run than him. No way.
Maybe they're not giving him any respect because going back to that whole Browns hate.
It may be. I don't know.
I don't know either. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I am excited to see what he can do, by the way, in this offense under Hugh Jackson.
If he can stay healthy, and you've seen what Hugh's been able to do with the running backs with Cincinnati the last couple of years.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, there was no one that was like star worthy, but all solid guys, like two, three guys that could hurt you.
Yeah, but Giovanni Bernard last year, 205 touches,
yep.
1,202 total yards. So 1,202 total yards and over 100 touches. Plus, if you do from on a target basis, 220 opportunities if we do carries plus targets, 220 opportunities. Duke Johnson last year in Cleveland, 165 opportunities, and he had 903 total yards.
Thank God I didn't have to guess those numbers.
913 total yards.
Pretty
so
darn good.
More, he's going to get more opportunities in this offense. He's going to get more carries, and he's probably going to get the same number of catches. He had 61 last year. He on 74 targets. Giovanni Bernard had 66 targets a year ago. So certainly in the same ballpark there. But I think this is an opportunity for him to really explode. I think it's an opportunity for Isaiah Crowell to really explode and build off those final four games of the year. I mean, people couldn't seem to forget that in the final four games last year, Isaiah Crowell rushed for 300 yards and three touchdowns. That's pace for 1,200 yards. He averaged over 5 yards a carry. Now, granted, you could say, well, 145 and two of them came against the 49ers. That is true. But his 16 carries for 88 yards and a touchdown against Kansas City in that game was very impressive. Ran the ball very effectively in that game.
Yeah, no, I would definitely say the Kansas City game was more impressive. You're talking about a team fighting for a playoff berth. They clinched with that win over the Browns, and one of the top defenses in the AFC this past year. I mean, I like Duke. I'd put Duke in as one of our top. If you want to talk about weapons, he's one of the top three weapons on this football team right now.
On offense?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I got to put Big Play Gear ahead of him.
Big Play Gear was more productive, but as far as being a weapon, I think Duke right now might be.
You got to stay on the field.
Might be the number one weapon.
You got to stay on the field.
That's what they're working forward
to.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, stay tuned for Bruce Hooley. He's up next with Dino. And also, check out our interview with Coach Chris Kleiman, the head coach of North Dakota State, the Bison. Carson Wentz's school, he was with us at 2 o'clock, also 2:30. We had Duke Johnson. So two good interviews today, also a lot of fun banter and phone calls, etc. Tomorrow, Jason Lockenfor at 2 o'clock wrote that article that it will be Goff for the Browns at number 2. We'll get the latest from him on that, what he's hearing about the Tennessee Titans, etc. So lots to get to rest of the week. Matt Wilhelm will be back. We'll continue our mock draft. So big Thursday. Gibbs, great job today, bro. Always a pleasure.
My friend, till tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. Till tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850.
Atta baby.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.